ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं। यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्मेधि वेदस्य मानिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीहि अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् संदधामि हृदं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्तिः शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। In the last class, we were looking at the topic change which Bhagwan initiated from verse number 39 onwards, and we have taken 39 as a verse, completed the 39 verse, and we have taken briefly the verse number 40. So as I mentioned in the 39th and 40th verse, I'll read both the verse together first before we move on. एषा ते विहिता सांख्ये बुद्धिर्योगे त्विमां शृणु बुद्ध्या युक्तो यया पार्थ कर्मबंधं प्रहास्यसि नेहाभिक्रमनाशोस्ति प्रत्यवायो न विद्यते स्वल्पमप्यस्य धर्मस्य त्रायते महतो भयात्। So we saw from verse 39 onwards, Bhagwan did a topic change, and Bhagwan very briefly told Arjun that, Arjun, from 11 to 38, I have covered one topic, and he used the word Sankhya there, and we saw different meanings of the word Sankhya, but briefly it means that I have already given you Brahma Vidya from 11 onwards up to 38. I have spoken about the real nature of the self, the supreme consciousness, and Samyak Khyayate, which is the Sankhya word, also means I have explained you well in that or that topic in great elaborate way. Now we need to understand one thing, and he says that now I am going to shift the topic into a new one. I am going to teach you about or Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. I am going to give you Yoga Buddhi. Yoga Buddhi means Karma Yoga Buddhi. Now I am going to talk to you about the topic called Karma Yoga, and I'm going to provide you the knowledge about that Karma Yoga from now on. What will happen, he said in that shloka, once you equip your intellect with this kind of a knowledge, once you gain this knowledge and you get into the field of action in the world, the real nature of the action is what every action binds. And I touched on that topic in the last session. Every action actually has this nature that it binds. He says, if you equip your intellect with this kind of a knowledge and you using this knowledge get into the field of action, into the world to transact, trust me, Arjun, none of your actions are ever going to bind you at all. That's the thing we need to see from that shloka, from that verse. Now, one more point I want to highlight there before I move on to the 40th verse where we left in the last session. The thing we need to remember is that ultimate truth, ultimate reality is the knowledge about the self. We all have to achieve there. We all have to reach there. That is the one thing which is going to free us from this cycle of birth and death. To reach there, now he has to show us the way also. Now the way you need to understand that shloka is also that, Arjun, the ultimate knowledge is the knowledge of the self, which I've already given you. I have expounded that in great length from verse 11 onwards, explaining through different aspects, and I've explained it to you till 38. In 38, I've already showed you the art of action, the attitude of action. Now from here, I am going to show you Karma Yoga, the actual science of action. What is that science of action? What is Karma Yoga going to do? The final goal is the self-knowledge. The final achievement of every jiva is definitely knowing about the self and realizing the self. That is the ultimate goal of anyone. Whether we all achieve it in this life, whether we achieve it in the next life, whether we achieve it in many lives together, that's besides the point. But the thing is, ultimate goal for everyone is that. And we can reach there only by knowing and realizing the self. That's where we will cut the whole cycle of birth and death. But the thing what Bhagwan is highlighting from this verse is that, Arjun, even though the ultimate goal is the self-knowledge, but the root, but the way to get to that knowledge, but the actual methodology to reach that knowledge, the upaya, the trick, the solution, the way to reach that knowledge is what? Karma Yoga. That is what Bhagwan is highlighting from here. Everybody's goal is self-knowledge, achieving the self, that's the final goal. But the route for reaching there, but the way of going to that solution, the methodology to reach there, the process to reach there is that every one of us has to go through Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is going to equip our intellect to grasp that self-knowledge. As I was taking through all the verses from 11 onwards, and we were discussing in the class also, we saw many times people coming up with the point that, it's very difficult to grasp. It is very difficult to understand. Definitely, yes, it's the ultimate truth. It is not easy to understand because we all have turned our vision, our actually outlook towards the world. That's why the self has has got to a back burner for us. It's standing, we have actually, our back is facing the self and our front is facing the world. So we are not able to actually see the self, we are not able to realize the self at all. Even though that's the ultimate goal, well, when we expound upon that self, it seems and sounds very difficult. Why? Because our intellect, our mind has become grossified. It's become so gross, engaged perpetually in the world of action, engaged perpetually in the sense objects, engaged perpetually in these gross objects, our intellect and mind has become gross. Because it has become gross, it is very difficult for that kind of a mind and intellect to grasp the subtle subject or the subtlest subject, subtler subject of the self. This is the problem we are all facing, and that's why when we hear the spiritual knowledge, we find it very difficult to grasp because our mind is not trained. So Karma Yoga, Bhagwan, what he is propounding from here, what he is expounding from here, Karma Yoga, Arjun, Bhagwan says, Arjun, this Karma Yoga is going to equip you to get that knowledge. It's going to fine-tune your intellect. It's going to fine-tune your mind. It's going to tune your mind and intellect to actually become subtler, to grasp the subtle subjects. Now, one thing which Vedanta very profoundly says is, gross mind can grasp gross objects. Gross intellect can understand, form an understanding of gross objects. For a mind or intellect to understand subtle objects, the mind and intellect itself has to become subtle first. How will it become subtle? What are the factors which actually make the mind so gross? Now just think from a perspective, when you transact in the world, every action, most of the time we see, it does couple of things with us. First is, it is a methodology for, it is a way for us to actually fulfill our desires, right? Whatever action we do in the world is basically to fulfill our desire to be happy. I'm going to come to that portion when we move on to the next shloka. In the 41st verse onwards, I'm going to come to that. But we will see here, we usually do things to fulfill our desire. But the thing, just think over it. After fulfilling your desire, has the desire quenched? No. It's like, trying to douse the fire by putting ghee into it. Just imagine, even though ghee looks like water, it's a liquid form, but it's not going to douse the fire. It's going to increase the fire only. So fulfillment of desire is like putting ghee into the actual fire. It's going to burn it more. It's going to make it more or aggravated. It's not going to dose it at all. So that's one thing which happens with fulfillment of desires. The other thing which we usually see is that once a desire is fulfilled and once we start achieving things, another problem which happens with us, that ego starts to increase. And I told you, ego is a very big block, stumbling block for gaining knowledge. Because of our ego, it will not even allow us to accept somebody giving knowledge. It will not even allow us to listen to someone. Forget about gaining knowledge or not. The first thing which will come to is that, let me just assess, is this person more knowledgeable than me? Is he talking something different? Is he talking something new? Many a times, when we take class and all, or we have seen people who come to us and in the class itself they say, I know this. I'm absolutely aware of this. So if you are aware of this, then why are you listening to it again? And what has happened to that thing? Then that is where it comes to the point. Many people, the ego itself stops you from learning because they say, I know what he's talking is nothing new about it all. Even though it is not sounding new to them, but the thing is that there is nothing which that knowledge has done for them, even if they know it also. So it becomes a stumbling block, it becomes a roadblock for you to gain knowledge. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, for you to prepare your mind and intellect, for you to fine-tune your mind and intellect to grasp subtler objects, or to tune your mind and intellect in such a way that it becomes subtle to grasp subtler objects, because gross intellect and gross mind cannot grasp subtler subjects, that the root for this, the way for this, the solution for that is is actually Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is going to train your intellect and mind to grasp that subject. So the ultimate goal being that, so the Karma Yoga is actually Upaya. It's basically the solution. It's basically the way for you to go up, way for you to reach and know that knowledge. So now we'll come to the verse number 40 where we left last time. So we were talking about the verse 40. Bhagwan highlights here three kinds of defects with every action. Now remember, one thing Bhagwan said about the, deficiency of the action. One thing Bhagwan said of the lacking in the action is that every action binds. Keeping that aside, now that is how the action does at an ultimate level. But here Bhagwan is saying, in the action also, within the action also, there are three kind of defects which every action has. And you know, when I say defects, it may sound a little bit, different. And it may find that, why are you saying that action is defective? There is a dosha in the action. So I would use a different word for that. It is the nature of the action that these three things are there in that action. What are the three things I spoke about in the last session? One is, every action, there is something called abhikrama. Every action needs a sequence to be followed. You can gain your desired results only if you follow the sequence of the action. If you break the sequence, don't think that you will get the desired results. Many a times it is possible that you may not even get the result if you break the sequence. And two examples I picked up there. One was the farming. So you have to first prepare the farmland or the land. First prepare the farmland. Then what you do, you make it wet by, sprinkling water on it. Then you actually sow seeds in it. Before that, actually, I missed that action. And what I'm trying to say is that first you actually prepare the land and or plow the land, what we call it. Then what you do, once you have done that, you remove the weeds first. After that, second, you remove the weeds. Then you water the field, the farmland, so that it becomes wet. Then you sow the seed. And then you wait for it to sprout out. Then you start out working on it so that it grows well by putting, all the kind of manure and other things also. Then once it is grown, that is when you will go and harvest, right? Now just think for a moment, and this is the example which I told you, Bhagwan Shankaracharya has also picked up in his Bhashya as an example. Now just think, you don't prepare the field at all. You don't plow it also. You just go and directly put seed in it. Then water the whole farmland. Definitely something will grow. Maybe the weeds only will grow up. You may not get the result at all. You may not get the desired result at all. Forget about getting the quality of what you wanted to sow. You may not even get the result. And mostly, when you see your farmland, there will be weeds grown everywhere. Because you have not taken them out. You have not completely, removed the weeds completely at all. So that's the one example which I gave. The second example which I gave was basically about a production factory which I was talking about. And the example I gave was car production line. When you see a car production line, everything has, there is a sequence. First the frame will come, then the frame will be painted, then you will have it move on, then engine and other parts will be fixed, then the dashboard will be fixed, then the steering will be done, then it will move on. Then bonnet and door and other things will be fitted. And once that is done, then, painting will be done. Once the painting is done, then the windshield and windscreens and other things will be put up. That's the sequence which it follows. If we break the sequence, we may not get the result. And that's there for every action. You just think. I'm just giving you, examples to think of. I'm not elaborating it here. Just even think cooking. Even if you see cooking also, you can't think that, you will break the sequence and you'll get the desired result out of the cooking. It is not possible. So every action requires it to be followed in a particular sequence. That's the requirement of an action. That's a defect that, once you break the sequence, the desired results may not come. Now the next one Bhagwan says is, and he says, the word we need to remember here is, iha means in this karma yoga, in this yoga buddhi which I am giving you, of the karma yoga, the knowledge I am giving you, Arjun, in this karma yoga, remember, this abhikrama nashah na asti. There is no, you know, you don't have to follow, even if you miss the sequence also, you do not, or, you know, or worry about the thing at all. It's not going to hamper your performance at all. Even, but provided you have the yoga buddhi in there, the karma yoga buddhi there. The second thing, second defect he speaks about is that, Arjun, pratyavayah na vidyate. Now, pratyavaya, I explained you already in the last session also. Akarane pratyavayah. This is how the, you know, word is coined in Sanskrit. Akarane means that at which happens when you do not do something, when you do not end up doing an action. So that is called pratyavaya. You know, or the way pratyavaya need to be seen is that if you miss certain thing, what happens is actually called pratyavaya. So when you do not or do your bit of the work, the whole work will get suffered. And, you know, you be prepared for the, you know, result to come in the same way, that, you know, it's not going to come the correct way at all. So that is what is called pratyavaya. Pratyavaya is there. Here, Arjun, if you do not end up doing it, then there is a dosha which comes, pratyavaya. Now, pratyavaya can also be explained in one more way. One, abhikrama means the sequence of you know, the chain of events which follows in the whole action, the sequence of events in the action. Pratyavaya also means action also requires you to do it in a desired format. You know, if you do this way, it will come. Like, for, I'm giving you an example. In the olden times, when you say yaga and yajna, you know, when the yaga and yajna used to be there, if you do the yaga and yajna in a prescribed manner, you will get the result. But if you, you know, do a mistake in the whole way of doing it, rather than getting blessing, you may get curse also. That is the thing with Karmakand. Karmakand has got this requirement that if you do it only in the prescribed manner, or if you do it only in the way the scripture tells you, the only in the way dharma tells you, only in the way your professional work tells you, you can only act within that boundary of how that action has been told. Sequence is one thing and the way of doing it is another thing. Okay, so first you have to remember that you cannot miss any sequence of action at all. The second thing is that not about the sequence only, you have to do it in the required format only. You can't think that, you know, I'll do according to my whims and fancies and the, you know, nothing will happen. No, it's not like that. It has to be done in a specified format. That's the second defect which action has got. If you do not end up doing in the correct format, rather than the action becoming a blessing for you and giving you desired result, it can become punishing for you. And it can lead you to some wrong things also. So that is another problem with you know, action. Even there is a defect with action. That's the nature of the action. And I would not use exactly defect that much, but it's like the nature of the action. The third thing Bhagwan points out here is that, and I told you, action has got another thing, that every action demands a quota of effort. And the example I gave you there was a person assigns, you know, hires some people to dig a well. They go and start digging the well. At 5 feet, they come back and say that, you know, at 3-4 feet, they come back and say that, you know, I dig, but no water came. So the first question the person who assigned this job will ask them, how much did you dig? I dug maybe 3-4 feet. Do you think 3-4 feet is enough? Go and dig more. Water will come. So every action, every job demands a quota of effort. We can't say that, you know, I tried my best, it didn't happen. No, whatever job requires, whatever action, whatever quota is required by a particular action, you have to do it to get the desired result. If you don't do it, you may not get the result at all. You may not get the desire, forget about the desired result, you may not even get the result only if you do not do the amount of effort required in that particular work. And the biggest thing you need to remember is that less effort, you can't come back and say that, you know, only my capability is this much, you know, I can't do it, you know, but I need the result. No, it is not going to happen. Because if the action requires certain amount or quota of effort, only once that quota of effort is fulfilled, then only that action will start giving you result. And remember, this quota is defined by every work. Every work, you take look at any work in this world, you will see that, you know, every work has got its defined quota of effort. Once you do that, then only you will get the desired result. Bhagwan says, Arjun, if you end up doing action with karma yoga buddhi, yoga buddhi means karma yoga buddhi here, if you end up doing your action with the yoga buddhi, karma yoga buddhi, Arjun, remember these three kind of things or defects which the nature of action has, these things does not touch you at all. He says, Swalpam api asya dharmasya, and we have to attach one word here. Even if you do this a little bit, Swalpam api asya dharmasya anusthanam, even if you are able to do this little bit also with whatever you can do, but remember you have to have a yoga buddhi there, karma yoga buddhi. Trayate mahato bhayat, Arjun, it relieves you, it helps you cross over the big fears which are there in this world. What are the kind of fears we talk about in this world? I'm not sure if, you know, this action is going to give me result or not. I'm not sure if my capability was enough. I'm not sure, did I put my 100%? These kind of fears will be there. I do not know how my senior who gave me this work will perceive this thing. I'm not sure if he will be happy with my work in totality. And remember, my job is at stake with the happiness of the person who gave me this work. My boss has to be happy, you know, with that work. Bhagwan says, Arjun, in karma yoga, if you end up doing action with this buddhi of karma yoga, trust me, these three kind of defects of action does not touch you at all. Now, I'm saying karma yoga. Karma yoga, and I told you, the only way of understanding karma yoga is that I am a servant of God. We have to see the word, you need to remember, it's yoga. Yoga means yunjati. Yunjati means that which enjoins us with, that which joins us with. Joins with who? With the higher nature, with the self of ours, which is what explained in Sankhya. That is why I told you Sankhya is the ultimate goal. Sankhya means the knowledge about Brahman and realizing the actual truth, realizing our supreme consciousness is the ultimate goal. The route for or going there is actually karma yoga. The way of reaching there is karma yoga. Karma yoga means what? It's actually making us understand that, you know, bringing God into the picture, bringing the supreme consciousness into the picture, bringing Bhagwan into the picture, and what attitude I have towards Bhagwan, attitude I will have towards God, the attitude I will have is, this is a God-given opportunity, God-sent opportunity, and the situation is also given by God, and even the capability of mine is also given by God. So these two things are very important in karma yoga. What? Every situation which comes in my life is given by God. He is the master. He knows what is good for me. He wants to train me, or he wants to keep me happy. That's his wish. But whatever situation is given, it comes into my life, whether difficult or easy, it's God-given. That's first thing, which is the foremost important thing in karma yoga. The second thing is that the capability which I have is also his given. He's given me the capability. Then the third thing which becomes important is that then my attitude of action should be what? My action should be only for the preeti of Bhagwan, only for the happiness of God. My only goal of doing the action is that my God should be happy. Like, I'm giving you an example which Pooja Swami Subodhananji used to give very profoundly. He says, just take it back to your professional work environment. Okay. Now, in the work environment, just think, the office space also belongs to the owner. The desk is also given to you by the owner. The laptop or the computer is also given to you by the owner. The work is also given to you by the owner. Every facility is given to you by the owner. So the work when we do should be for whose happiness? That my boss becomes happy. My senior becomes happy. I am able to contribute to the bottom line of the company. You know, of course, boss may be different from the owner of the company, but I'm just saying, ultimately, my effort should be what? My effort should be such that we should help the company grow. My effort should be such that which contributes to the bottom line of the company. My effort should be such that it, my every action becomes profitable for the company. And what will be my reward? Definitely my salary is my reward of happiness of my owner or boss, whichever way you call it. What else is the reward? Whatever rewards I get in between, that I get like best employee, so and so, star of the month, or there are many things, many ways to reward or an employee. An employee can be rewarded by the boss. So every time your work starts giving result, please remember it will get noticed and you will start getting rewarded. In the same way, when you come back to karma yoga, there I'm talking to you about the professional environment. There the professional environment, the boss and the owner becomes important. But when you come to karma yoga, what? Every action when I do, my eyesight should be on, my vision should be what? Is my God happy with me? Is he comfortable with my work? Is he pleased with my work? And then what is the reward you get like that? That you will start feeling a different kind of happiness in your heart, that I do not know how I did this work, but I feel very satisfied. That internal satisfaction is nothing but the happiness which God has got from your work. The preeti of God is what expresses as an happiness in your heart. Many times it is seen that even if results do not come the way we expected sometime, or may not be the best of it, but if God is happy with the work, you will have a different kind of happiness in your heart. People, all of them who work for spiritual work, I just use this word at many forums, I've said that. Who is my boss? My boss is the master of the universe, Lord Krishna. And my work is for what? My only reward is that my God should be happy. And how will that come to me? When people start getting impacted by what you do, when people start getting helped by what you do, they start, appreciating what you do. It's all what? It's the way God expresses his happiness with your work. One more thing I'll say here, that, increase in popularity is also a reward for work, by the way. That's very important to know. Every time a reward for work should not be measured in monetary terms. Monetary terms is one thing. It may come, it will come according to what, how people get impressed by your work or something. But the bigger part of the happiness of God, which expresses through people, is that more and more people start appreciating the work. More and more people start getting helped by the work. They feel that there is someone to help them. That kind of happiness which it comes is what comes from the work when we do for God. Karma Yoga, Bhagwan is teaching us through Karma Yoga. Arjun, I am telling the whole mankind that you need to remember one thing very clearly. The ultimate goal of all of us is to realize the self. And the route to reach there, and the way to reach there, the methodology to reach there is actually Karma Yoga. If all of us do Karma Yoga, we keep God in the picture. Trust me, the action, the situation becomes comfortable for us to move on, even if it is difficult also. And I have explained that in the previous shlokas also. When God comes into the picture, that becomes Karma Yoga. Yoga means yunjati, to tie us, to join us, enjoin us to our higher nature, which is the supreme consciousness, the self within us. That's one thing we need to remember. Then Bhagwan says, Arjun, Trayate Mahato Bhayat, Arjun, if you are able to do this way, please remember, we will be able to cross over the biggest fear, which is samsara. Samsara and the surrounding and all those things around. Now, there is one thing which I want to just highlight here. There is something which is inherent with all of us. There are actually three things which are inherent with all of us. And it's actually our basic demand and for all of us. That what are the basic demand? First is that we do action for what? First is we should be able to protect our life. Our life is our first goal. And every action contributes to that, that, my life should be sustained here. Every effort we do that, my life is sustained. My life is continued in this world. I don't end up losing my life doing something. So my life is my first focus. It's my first demand. And we call it Naisargik Mang. If we call it that, you know, this is something which is basic inherent in all of us. It is something which is there. All of us want that, you know, I should be alive. My life should be protected. And my life should be continuous. Nobody wants to lose their life. That's the first thing we need to remember. The second thing, even I'm just giving you an example. A soldier also, when a soldier goes into war or fight, he doesn't go with the intention to lose life. Okay, that's not the intention at all. He wants to actually end up fighting and win, making the country win for the country he's fighting, he or she is fighting. So apparently, but how will he protect the country? How will he make the country win? By only protecting his life also, right? But yes, in the event if the life goes, I'm ready to give up. That's how it goes in terms of thought process. So, you know, it is the biggest thing we need to remember is all of us, the basic demand is my life should be protected. My life should be continued. That's the first demand we all have. The second thing we want, all of us want is we want to be happy. No, I don't have to tell you that, you know, that is something which is effort of all of us. Now, you know, the thing we need to remember is that we look forward for this thing in life that, you know, that bad situations or situations which give me sorrow should never come in my life. Okay? And I will always work towards or make effort towards making situations which are favorable for me work out so that I derive happiness from it. So happiness is a basic demand of everyone. And I told you in one of the sessions before also, just see how basic the happiness is. People marry also for happiness. People divorce also for happiness. People join a job also for happiness. People resign from a job also for happiness. Just think. People leave area or place or city also for happiness. People go into some area, city or country also for happiness. Just think. Happiness becomes the basic driver. But remember, happiness is not primary. Life is primary. That's the reason I listed down in the correct manner. First primary thing is that the life is most important and primary for me. Happiness becomes secondary. And giving you one more example why it's called secondary also. Many times we are ready to give up happiness also for protecting our life. We are ready to take sorrow also provided it protects our life. So life becomes primary and happiness becomes secondary. The third thing which we need to know is that the third thing which is a basic demand for all of us is that we all want to become free. Freedom is my birthright. I don't need constitution to tell me that is definitely my right. But remember, freedom means what? Now this is a point which Pooja Maharaji Swami Subodhananji used to say that, you know, when we go and ask people, what do you mean by freedom? Many times people may not be able to define what freedom means for them. Freedom doesn't mean that, you know, my country is free, only I'm free. No, country is free, but are you free? What do you mean by freedom? The one form of freedom which he used to put up very beautifully, which I want to bring out here is that, one kind of freedom which we want is that, we want freedom in such a way that adverse situations should never come in my life. And, you know, the correct situation, the situations which are favorable for me should never leave my life. If I'm able to bring out in such a way that favorable situations remain in my life forever and unfavorable situations never come in my life, I have become free. But the biggest thing you need to remember is that can any one of them do that in this life? Free means what then? We are so much dependent on happiness driven from external objects that we can't stop the inflow of, you know, favorable and unfavorable situation coming in our life. It's not possible. So, you know, the other thing which we all demand in our life is that we want to be free. So freedom, the three things I told you, which is the basic demand of everyone, life, protection of life, that my life should be continued. I should be able to live longer. That's my basic demand. The second thing becomes my happiness. The third thing becomes freedom. All of us want to be free. Now, the biggest thing is that freedom means what? One more thing I want to explain you here. freedom actually comes, means what? It's an expression of capability. Now, a child, when a child is in student life, he can't think that he can be free, because he will always be dependent for his things on his parents. When he starts talking about freedom, only when he becomes capable and he becomes in, comes into a position that he starts managing his own things. That's a very simpler way to understand freedom. Freedom is like, you know, when I become capable to manage my own things, I start developing that feeling that I am somewhat becoming free. But the biggest thing we need to remember about freedom is that any one of us can we guarantee that we will be free from everything forever? The only way, the only methodology to become free is self-knowledge. Only when you realize self, that's when you become completely free from everything. The last amount of freedom is freedom from birth and death. That is the last level of freedom. You gradually start getting freedom. No, you know, example which Bhagwan will also pick it up when, you know, it comes to Stita Prajna Lakshana, and I'm going to talk about that from post 55th verse onwards. Bhagwan will also say, the best part about a sannyasi, a Jivan Mukta Purush, is what? While living also, he is free from all these entanglements of everything. He has reached a level of objectless happiness. He has reached a level of desireless happiness. He has reached a stage of so much desirelessness that his happiness is not dependent on anything in this creation at all. That is what is called actual freedom. He is not dependent on anything. The moment we become dependent on something, then our freedom is gone. We have already become bound. If I am running after, you know, my, you know, people for my happiness, then where am I free? I am actually bound. Free means what? I am free from any kind of dependency on anyone for even my life and for my happiness completely. That is called actual freedom. Anyway, I'll come to that point. I'll just read Bhagwan Shankaracharya's Bhashya here. I want to bring one thing which from the last verse also, the 39th verse also, which I just said, that Karma Yoga is actually the way, the route for us to reach what, or prepare our intellect in such a way to grasp the knowledge of the self. And that line Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has brought up in the Bhashya of 39th verse, in the second one. I read it, but I'm just going to explain it a little bit today. Yoge tu tat prapti upaye. Tat means sankhya buddhi prapti upaye. Tat means the actual Paramatma, supreme consciousness. The Karma Yoga, which Bhagwan is expounding here, is basically the route to reach there. It's basically the route to reach the self. It's basically the route to know and realize the self. And how is that going to be? Nissangataya dvanda prahana purvakam. And it's going to be what? Free from all kind of attachments. Free from all the prahana means the infliction done by all the kinds of pair of opposites. Dvandva. Dvandva means, which I said in the previous 38th verse also, where he mentioned three pair of opposites. What? Sukha dukkha, labha labhau, jaya jayau. All these kind of, any kind of attachment, free from any kind of attachment, any kind of infliction or any kind of impact done on me, any kind of attack, infliction done on me by all these pair of opposites, which he spoke about in the last verse. And then the very big point he says is that Ishvara Aradhana Arthe. And it is for what? For the purpose of gaining devotion to God. Ishvara Aradhana Arthe. Its purpose is what? Gain devotion, gain and, you know, unison with God, gain oneness with God, gain and realize that God is my dearest, He is my closest. Ishvara Aradhana Arthe. Karma Yoge Karma Anushthane Samadhi Yoge Cha Imam Anantaram Eva Uchyamanam Buddhim Shunu. And that which is going to not only karma yoga, it is also by doing your action through karma yoga, it's also going to be one of the factors responsible for you to gain the state of meditation. Samadhi yoge cha imam anantaram eva uchyamanam buddhi, that intellect, that knowledge, that buddhi which is going to help you with that. Now tum shrunu, Arjun, you listen to it now. So now we'll read the, you know what you call that, the bhashya of verse 40. Bhagwan says, na iha moksha marge karma yoge abhikrama nashah. Arjun, in this path of karma yoga, these three kind of defects, the inherent nature of karma which gives you these three kind of defects, they are not there. Arjun, even if you are not able to follow the krama, even if you are not able to follow the sequence, even if you miss out on the actual process of work, or you miss out on certain action, certain parts of it, and if you are not able to, you know, put in the demanded quota of effort also, Arjun, still karma yoga will help you free from the fears of all kind of fears from this world, and it will also free you from the effects of these kind of defects which come up from the karma, from the action. So Arjun, in this karma yoga, abhikrama nashah nasti, there is nothing called abhikrama nashah. Even if you are able to not follow the sequence, you will gain in what is to be gained. You will get it because God will come into the picture and bless you, and he'll see, and because of his compassion, he'll see that, you know, this man is devoted to me, so doesn't matter what he has done, and you know, he will bless us to move on with that, provided you have what? Yoga buddhi, the karma yoga buddhi. You have God in picture, then God becomes one of the factor for you who to be helped in the whole karma. He will definitely be there to push you through the karma. He will be definitely be there to help you fulfill all the gaps which are left out. So abhikrama nasha nasti, Arjun, even if you do not follow the sequence of the action, still your result will not get impacted at all. And you know, you will not get the dosha, you will not spoil the whole karma phala there. And pratyavaya also is not there. And even if you do little bit of effort, you know, swalpam api asya dharmasya anushtanam, even if you are able to do, you know, with the best of your efforts, whatever you could do within your capability, Arjun, trust me, these kind of defects of the action are not going to give you adverse results at all. That's one thing which we all need to remember from this is portion, and from this portion of the shloka, which is verse number 40. And Bhagwan says, Arjun, an abhikrama nasha not there, pratyavaya not there, swalpamapi dharmasya not there. Rather, I will come into the picture to help you increase your capability and get you up to there. But remember, when you should put this, now one more thing I want to highlight here with this shloka is that, when will you have the karma buddhi? When you will have the karma yoga buddhi here? Now, there are three portions which can happen. Either you will have karma yoga buddhi when you enter into the action. Okay? But when you are busy into the action, probably you forgot it. You forgot God from the whole picture. You did the action. You remembered it after once the action is done. Doesn't matter. Even if you are able to do that. Now, let me give you another example. For example, when you started the action, you did not have the yoga buddhi. You suddenly remembered the yoga buddhi when the, you know, actions start to give you adverse kind of results. You suddenly remember God. Doesn't matter. You remember God, na? He has come into the picture. He'll help you. So now the third example is that you did not remember before doing the action. You did not remember within the action also. Once at the end of the action, once you completed it, when you started looking back at the action, you said, oh, I forgot God in the whole picture. You still remember him. It's enough. God says, keep me in the picture. Let me be the supreme power to help you. Let me be the supreme power to grace you with what you do. Let my power become one with yours, become one with your effort to help you and push you through the action. And trust me, this is very helpful. It's such a discount Bhagwan gives. Bhagwan says, Arjun, it is such a thing that, you know, you keep me in the picture. But remember, it is not going to come just like that. First, we have to accept God, we have to start developing some devotion to God, then only these things starts coming in. And I'm going to come, whenever I come to the chapter 12, I'm going to talk about Bhakti Yoga. Bhagwan's role is very important. I want to highlight one thing here. If we as a jiva, we as a human, we as a, you know, soul, individual soul, think that we can achieve everything in life, resolve everything in our life on our own, we are highly mistaken. Highly mistaken. Why? This creation is so vast, so intense. There are so many people coming up with so many karmas and so many things. You know, it's very difficult for us to manage everything from all aspects. I want to highlight one thing here. In Vishnu Sahasranama, towards the end of the Sahasranama Stotram, there is one portion which says about Bhagwan, Sarva Praharana Yudha. Bhagwan is what? He is like, you know, he has got eyes everywhere. He is one who is all capable, almighty. He can help you with anything. He has got everything to tackle in this whole world. He has got solution for everything. We are such a limited intellect. How we can solve all the problems? There are many unforeseen problems also which come in life. One example I want to bring out here, and it's a real life event which happened many years before. It's a very freak event which happened somewhere in Gujarat. There was a girl who was probably, you know, gang raped and killed after the event. And there is another girl who saw those people and had testified, and those guys got caught. So, you know, this girl had got down at the same stop few minutes before or the girl who got killed, and she walked home. So when these guys got caught, they asked those guys. This girl also got down before that girl. But you know, you guys did it nothing to that girl at all. Is there any reason why you did not disturb her at all? So that those guys who got caught from this incident, they said that this girl got down few minutes before. But, you know, we saw this girl also. But she was not alone. So, very strange. Then they asked the girl, they say that you were not alone. So she said that, you know, oh, I was definitely alone. But I remember my grandparents taught me some mantra of Bhagwan. When I saw that, you know, the situation is not so good and, you know, I cannot tackle this alone, I suddenly started chanting Bhagwan's mantra and you know, walked like that. And they said they saw somebody with her. This is called the power of Bhagwan. Bhagwan's, you know, the moment you invoke the grace and blessing of Lord, He will make sure that His presence is felt by you somewhere around, in some way or the other. And, you know, if you just look at your life, you can see that as an example in your life itself. Just try to recollect incidents in your life. You will know this is a truth of life, that, you know, just invoke Him. By invoking Him itself, many problems starts getting resolved. But the problem is what? Accepting in Bhagwan and, you know, devoting to Bhagwan. That's a big problem. And one of the biggest stumbling block for that is that, you know, I don't believe in God. Then if you don't believe in God, I do not know what to do, tell you that how, you know, God, I would use the word what? God help you to, you know, come over all the situations then. That's all I can say. You know, that's the thing Bhagwan is trying to bring out with these verses here. Bhagwan says, Na iha moksha marge karma yoge abhikrama nashah abhikramanam abhikrama prarambha tasya nashah na asti yatha krishyade. He gives the example of farming here. Yoga vishaye prarambhasya na anaikantika falatvam iti arthah. He says, don't worry if you miss some portions of the work, you don't follow the sequence. It's not going to create a problem for you. If you have karma yoga, if you have God in mind, He will guide you through the things. And, you know, He will help you to cover through all the actions in a way that, you know, you can get the desired result also. Kimcha na api chikitsavat pratyavaya vidyate. Now, one thing more of pratyavaya, I want to give you one gross example also. Like, for example, we need to brush our teeth daily. It's a nitya karma. We have to do it daily. If you don't do it for a long period of time, what? problems in teeth starts arising. You know, it starts getting decayed, it starts getting germs, and you start having toothache and all those kind of things. The same thing goes for Nitya Karma, like if we someone don't take shower at all, you know, many days is not taken shower, you know, it will start having its own problem. So Nitya Karma need to be done every day. The moment you break it, you start getting dosha. Dosha means what? Is the body starts to getting, you know, starts getting into problem. You are into a job. You suddenly decide not to go for the job. For many, many days you don't go. Because of your work, others' work also start getting impacted. So that's the way also you need to understand Pratyavaya here. He says, Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji says, Kim tu bhavati स्वल्पम अपि अस्य योगधर्मस्य अनुष्ठितं त्रायते रक्षति महतः संसार भयात् जन्म मरणादि लक्षणात्. यू नो, इवन इफ यू आर एबल टू डू लिटिल बिट विद योर बेस्ट एफर्ट, कीपिंग गॉड इन माइंड, रिमेंबर योर वर्क इज व्हाट, योर वर्क इज योर डिवोशन टू गॉड. डोंट से दैट, यू नो, आई विल रिमेंबर गॉड, आई विल डू अ मीडियोकर जॉब. दैट्स नॉट व्हाट इज मेंट हियर. यू डू योर बेस्ट. आई टोल्ड यू द थ्री थिंग्स विच यू नीड टू डू. द सिचुएशन इज गिवन, गॉड सेंट. He has put me into this situation, so he wants me to grow, understand, and, you know, take this situation the way it's given. It's a gift of him to me. And what? The second thing what you need to understand is that the capability to go through this is also given by God. So it's nothing of mine. And you know what? My work is being done for what? My work is being done for Preeti of Bhagwan, that my Bhagwan, my God becomes happy. You know, if we have these three things in mind, trust me, ego also will not rise. By the way, because I am not in the picture, God alone is in the picture. You know, situation is also given by Him, capability is also given by Him, and, you know, I am doing also for His happiness, and His happiness is everything for me. Whatever monetary benefit, other benefits it comes, it doesn't matter at all. I'll give you a very small example here, that, you know, when I started the podcast, I had no intention, I never advertised the podcast at all. It was only for the few people who come into the class, to give them as an advantage that they don't have to individually record the class, and it gives them as a platform to keep there, and plus it will be a repository of the thing. But trust me, without any advertisement, how many people have got joined to the podcast from where all in the world. I'm so surprised how God does His work. We don't even know He has connected so many people. I don't know many of them, but they've got connected. Like, we have almost 17,000-18,000 and people who are following podcast, and, you know, we have got 5 lakh plus listenings on the podcast. I do not know where it came from. It's such a, you know, blessing of God that you just decide to work for Him, He will find His own way to get it done. So that is what Karma Yoga is actually meaning. So now we'll get into the next shloka, where Bhagwan, in the next verse, Bhagwan says, in the 41st verse,
Vyavasayatmika buddhihi एकेह कुरु नंदन बहुशाखा ह्यनंताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नंदन बहुशाखा ह्यनंताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां.
भगवान से अर्जुन, व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एक इह कुरु नंदन. अर्जुन, इह दिस बुद्धि, this buddhi, vyavasayatmika means what? Nischay swabhava is the way Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has translated it in the bhashya. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means a buddhi, an intellect which has got a firm conviction on karma yoga. A buddhi, an intellect which has got a firm conviction, which has got made a firm resolve on karma yoga. It is, Bhagwan says, Arjun, Eka, it's one kind of an intellect. It's one kind of an intellect. It will have one path. It will follow the same thing. Action may be different kinds, but the focus is only one. Any action that person does with Karma Yoga, his focus is only on God. His focus is one. Action may be prima facie at the level of action. They may see all different kinds of action. They may see million kinds of actions he does. But his buddhi is what? His buddhi, his intellect is what? Fixed on God. He is doing it for what? For God. He is doing it with what attitude? That God given opportunity, God send opportunity, God send situation, and capability also God given, and I'm doing it for God. His focus is very clear. That's why Bhagwan uses the word vyavasayatmika, nischaya swabhava. His His swabhava, his nature is fixed on God. He's very firm on that thing. He's made a firm resolution in his mind that whatever I do, I'll do it for God. Whatever action comes. And I'm telling you, whatever action. Action can be many. Action can be with many different directions. Action can be into many different end situations, many different things. Can be into many different, leading to many different results. But his focus is what? Karma yoga. That buddhi Bhagwan calls vyavasayatmika. He says, Arjun, this buddhi, I call it vyavasayatmika buddhi, because he's got firm resolve on God. He's doing it for God. He's doing it for him, for the happiness of God. And God is the first focus for him. He becomes secondary. Remember, huh? We call it, you know, firm intellect when we call it. It the firm focus and then gauna. Gauna means secondary. Primary is what? God here. I become secondary. Otherwise, usually in action, what happens? I become primary, others become secondary. Now just think one more thing. In, you know, I gave the same example which I gave you a few minutes ago. Oh, office is you know, given by your boss. This table and desk and everything is his. Facility is all his. And if I go to the office and start doing my own agenda, then he won't be happy. He may keep watching it for some time before he gives me a notice that, you know, please go on. Do your agenda outside the office. You are not required in this work at all. Seva nivrit kar denge hame. Seva nivrit, he'll free us from the work. He'll remove us from the work. So, you know, that's the same thing which happens here. Arjun, here, vyavasayatmika buddhi is what? The buddhi which is already made a firm resolve on God as the focus. That buddhi which has made a firm resolve to do karma yoga, the karma yoga buddhi, that kind of an intellect, that kind of an understanding in which is there about karma yoga. He Kuru Nandana. Bhagwan used the word. The best among Kurus. You, Nandana means best among Kurus. Kuru, you are not just amongst the Kuru Vanshis. Kuru Vanshi is you know, our Kauravas also. But he calls Arjun what? The best among Nandana, Kuru Nandana, a son of Kuru, a best amongst the Kuru. You know, you need to understand this kind of a buddhi, I call it Vyavasayatmika, the Nischay Buddhi, Karma Yoga Buddhi. Then Bhagwan gives a comparison. What happens to those people who are not doing Karma Yoga? Who do not have this kind of knowledge, who do not have this kind of a wisdom. Bhagwan says, Bahu shaka hi ananta ascha, ananta hacha, buddhayo avyavasayinam. Bhagwan uses the word here, avyavasayinam. Now, that's the thing we need to understand. Now, there are other people who are not doing karma yoga. Their buddhi is what? Spread across into all different directions. Their energy is not conserved into one thing. Their energy is not focused into one thing. Their energy is dissipated into different directions. And how is that karma? Bahushaka hi anantascha. They are like, in different actions, they have got different kind of mindset. They have got different kind of buddhi. They have got different kind of knowledge. And for every action, they use that particular knowledge with that particular focus. For different action, they will use a different kind of focus, different kind of an intention. For every action, they have got different intentions. For every action, they have got different kind of focuses. And how that action is, that action then sprouts out into Bahu Shaka, means it sprouts out into different branches. From one action, it will go into different. From there, it will go to different. They will spread out like different branches of a tree. Bhagwan says, Arjun, their action, their energy is so dissipated into so many millions of directions because their actions are different. I told you, in the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi also, there are many actions, but the Buddhi is one. Here what? Actions are also many. The intellect also becomes many. The Buddhi also, the knowledge also becomes many. Every action will have its own focus, will have its own intelligence, will have its own energy. Then once he goes into different action, he or she, he has a different buddhi. So how many things he has to remember? Even he, that person has to remember so many focus, so many actions, so many sequences, so many things which he elaborated in the last shloka. He says, how is that action then? Because the focus is so many, and then it further splits, sprouts out into different branches. And this man, this poor man, becomes so pathetic in situation that he has to manage all those things. One, he, you know, keeps focus on one, the other starts to get impacted. Like I'm giving you an example, one small example I'm giving you from here, that a person too much focused on professional life, his family starts to get ignored, right? And so a person too much focused on family life, his profession starts to get ignored. He has to keep both the balance. How will he balance? Family, the focus is different. Profession, the focus is different. Now just think for 1 minute. If God becomes the center of the focus, I'm doing my profession also for God. I'm you know, taking care of my family also for God. You see, the focus becomes one. He doesn't have to dissipate his energy into different focuses, remembering so many things in mind, and it doesn't sprout out into different branches as also if his focus is one. God will take care. That's the beauty of bringing God into picture. One thing before I end this session, and you need to remember, in the Pushpika Vakya, because of the Sankhya Buddhi and Yoga Buddhi, it is said, Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. This whole Bhagavad Gita is what? Brahma Vidyayam. The focus and goal is what? To make us realize the self, know the self and realize the self. And the process and the way is what? Karma Yoga. Yoga Shastre. And the Shastra means the technique is what? Karma Yoga. That is what is in the coming from the Pushpika Vakya also. Rest we will see in the next class. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami Shriman Narayanayeti Samarpayami Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shantihi Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Tat Sat.